glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. Hope that it's there. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, March 29th, 2016. Standing still in awe.
Is that your intro?
Yeah, that's my intro. In fact...
You should have some drums or...
Well, after you preached on the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, which was a re-airing or a rebroadcast, not a rebroadcast, but it was broadcasting what you had preached on Sunday.
It can't be a rebroadcast because it wasn't originally broadcasted.
I know, yeah, that's,
although it does make me sound as though I've been...
You're the big
league. It was a reissue of my original.
But I want to say that the God sightings or standing in awe to different measures continues. Now, I know the word awesome should only be attributed to God, right? Because awesome, really only God is awesome.
Well, I do think that, like, some of those words we're kind of callous with, like good. You know, that was good pizza. That's good ice cream. That was a good movie in Genesis 1, God says, and it was good, yeah. Which are two totally different kinds of things. So sometimes I think that we'll use these kind of big words, you know, big meaning words for little kinds of things. Now, I'm not saying that ice cream can't be awesome and movies can't be awesome and they can't be good, but I just want to make sure that nothing gets to be better than God.
Yeah, in the final analysis, only God is awesome.
Sure, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know what, I think that the reason why we struggle with that is that because, you know, the Bible would say taste and see that the Lord is good. And I think the problem is that we've tasted all kinds of other things and they've gotten us by, but we haven't tasted the Lord, haven't really truly drunk of his goodness. Because if we did, all other things would pale in comparison.
Right, right. Yeah, they'd be fair.
That'd be a fair, that's a fair statement.
Well, there's some little A awesomes the last few days, and it's been kind of interesting to see all these unique things that the Lord has been providing or doing here at the Great News Radio Center on Monday night. And you will appreciate this. Leonard Seward had a little testimony time. I kind of set it up for the singing man. Steve had said, hey, you're going to give a little update or overview on the Israel trip because of circumstances and dress rehearsal the week before because of a concert. We hadn't gotten to recap any of the trips. So I just set up Leonard Seward, who was taken by ambulance to the hospital, and you know kind of that story, how the things that had happened after the rededication in the Jordan River, the cold Jordan, chilly river.
It was cold.
And how that all worked out, and he wasn't seeming right. And then when we got to Qumran and, you know, needed some assistance, and his blood sugar level got down to like 41.
You remember he was trying to get in the water, and we were like, Leonard, get out of the water. Leonard, get out of the water. And he wouldn't listen. He was just standing there, and I remember both of us kind of looked at each other like, is everything okay? But there was, I mean, there was 32 people who were going to be baptized, and there was so much going on, and we were trying to, and then they said, hey, we're going to be closing, so this needs to, you know, you need to do the rededications. But I remember now in hindsight thinking there was something wrong at that moment because, you know, he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. And finally his wife is like, Leonard, get out of the water. And then he kind of turned around and had kind of this look on his face, and he went back and sat down. But now that I look back on it, yeah, there was some little warning signs.
And then from there, after the testimony time and sharing, the men, you know, there are men showers, women showers and such, he was just slow to get organized and going and lost his money clip, he thought, and spilled all the stuff on the ground, and I'm like, Leonard, everyone's waiting for us. We got to get moving. And long story short, finally, I get him going, and he has two different shoes on his feet. You know, I said, Leonard, just whatever you have, we got to get on the bus. We're the last two in this whole place. But then we went to Qumran, and then he wasn't acting right, and I was kind of watching him, and then said, let's get him inside. And as, you know, two of us were side by side and walking along with him, he was just kind of slurring his words. And I thought, is he having a stroke? What's going on? And so I ran ahead to get a wheelchair, which they didn't have. And then I heard he fell. And then we got him to the point where, you know, thank you, God, that one of our members had one of those little, you prick the finger and you can
test it. Yeah, like blood sugar testers.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, she had two of them, which was another blessing. But suddenly they realized, yeah, he was in like the 60s, or then it was like 41. A second reading, it's like you're supposed to be at 130. And so we're thinking, shoot, what do we do? And then everyone's getting them ice cream cones, and here's apple juice, here's orange juice, here's a chocolate bar.
Yeah.
Sugar level escalated, but it only got up to like 70s or 80s.
I think it was up to 90 at one point, but it's all like short chain sugar, so you know, it's up and then you can go right back down, which is what happened. We got to Jerusalem and it went phew.
Yeah, so we called an ambulance, which the Israelis were great. They were there momentarily, and mm-hmm. there was five of them, and I had to make arrangements, you know, get him to the hospital and still, you know, navigating the other basically 53, actually 51 because the Jennings went along to the yeah. hospital and so forth. And they took really great care of him, but his blood sugar level was really, really low. And they were talking about if it didn't improve, keeping him there for a couple weeks. And so they kept him overnight. And long story short, so he shared some of the testimony and how God worked through that and how he came out. And there was this big American flag. And mm-hmm. the Israeli doctor, I don't know if you knew all this story, but the Israeli doctor that was looking at all of his medicines, because he had it on a sheet, and mm-hmm. he and Nancy provided this, the Israeli doctor called his American doctor here at home and convinced him, you got to get him on these things and not do this. And the American doctor agreed with the Israeli
oh, wow.
doctor, and that the Israeli doctor would call him, the American doctor, here at home and convince him to change mm-hmm. some things. And anyway, so Leonard felt very well taken care mm-hmm. of and recovered and joined us for the rest of the group. But he was sharing with everyone last night how he felt everyone's prayers, and he was moved to tears. He mm-hmm. got choked up saying, I felt the prayers. They were as clear as day. They were effective. They were working. And he was basically, he said, I stood in awe. And I was thinking of the whole theme of you preaching on standing in awe. And so that was a neat testimony.
Well, isn't it interesting? So let's just step back, because I think that this is a good, maybe, you know, we're talking about awe, but I think one of the reasons why we're not in awe of what God does is because we have a problem with our perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think that every single pilgrim, if we were to go along and interview all of them, would say, one of the things I hope as we went to Israel was to grow closer to mm-hmm. the Lord. And we really hammered that home, that, you know, this is a pilgrimage. We want you to grow closer to the Lord. And I think that everybody's thoughts might be, well, I'm going to do that at a site or through a teaching, or I'm going to do it through a time of prayer, or I'm going to do it through seeing something that I never imagined I would see before. I don't think anybody would say my faith builder was going to come through going to the hospital. And yet, you're telling me that Leonard's testimony is, my faith was increased right. because I went to the hospital.
Right.
And so, interestingly, how God will use whatever it is that needs to be used to increase faith. And maybe for Leonard, there wasn't going to be anything else on the trip that was really going to kind of get into his heart the way that God wanted to. And so God created this situation, you know, with blood sugar and all those things to put him in a position where his faith would be expanded, where he would go, wow. You know, like we said on that Sunday morning, whoa. You know, the bigness and kind of hugeness of God, and also within that, kind of the personal nature of how God cares for us.
Yeah. Well, and I think you made a comment in preaching how we often miss God in the ordinary. I
sure.
mean, the fact that our lungs and our heart is beating
yeah.
and the fact we were able to sleep and the fact that our bodies fearfully and wonderfully made function, just the function of going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I've talked to some people. It's amazing how everything has to work together for everything to make it from your stomach into your bladder and mm-hmm. all these properties and facets and blood flow and on just to go to the bathroom is a miraculous thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
so.
And I think it's how we define a miracle, right? You know, it's really interesting. So a number of years ago, I was making, I would always make, people give me these tomatoes and I make salsa. You know, I thought, you know, what do you do when people give you a big
bucket? The shifo salsa.
Maybe, but what do you do when somebody gives you a big bucket of tomatoes? And so I guess you make salsa. So we made salsa, you know, and I kind of would, you know, for me, salsa was just like some onion, a little green pepper, the tomatoes, and we'd throw it all in a thing, and you eat it with some chips. And one time somebody said to me, I said, oh, you need to put some lime juice in there. And I thought, lime juice? Why would I need to put lime juice in there? That does not sound right. But I put it in there, and I thought, oh, this is so good.
Hmm.
This was the missing ingredient. But it wasn't what I thought it right. It wasn't what I perceived to be that. And so I think for me it's the same way as when we talk about what a miracle is. A miracle for me is what I think it should be. And yet sometimes there's an ingredient in there that only God knows, that only God understands, that doesn't seem to our rational kind of mind to be, you know, when somebody said lime juice, lime juice, why would I put lime, that's sour, why would I put that in my salsa? And yet God knows the exact ingredient, even though it seems improbable and kind of insane to us. He knows the exact ingredient that needs to go into our lives to show us what miracle really is.
Right. Well, like you said, oftentimes those trials or tribulations mm-hmm. are exactly what he uses to bring us to our knees, to lean into him, to surrender, to yeah. fall and say, Lord, I can't do it on my own. And mm-hmm. then the Lord says, okay, now you're ready.
Exactly. You know, and that was somebody on Sunday morning was telling me that. They were telling me about their ministry and what was going on, and they were saying, look at, you know, I just feel like I'm pushing in this direction, and it feels like I'm in a little bit of kind of maybe a desert season. And I said, gosh, you know what, that's the story of every time I try and push out in faith. And I think that it's God saying, are you really in it? Are you really in it? And not in it for you to win it, but in it that I would win it, that I would get the glory. And so I think God takes you to the end of kind of a season where you're like, it feels, I don't want to say hopeless, but it feels like, gosh, Lord, is this even going to work? Lord, is this even going to work? Is this even going to happen? And then God goes, you're almost ready.
Yeah, almost.
You are. You're almost ready, because every time we say, is this, how can it, we're handing God more of the pie to say, God, you are in control. Yeah. You're the one who's going to do it. That was a testimony of this Great News Radio Center. I think that's a testimony of a lot of things we do in ministry, where we need to get to that point where we're willing to say categorically, God was the only one who did this.
Right, right.
We could not have done this because we tried and we couldn't.
Yeah. Get out of the way.
Sure.
Or come to the end of ourselves where we're like, okay, Lord, I think I've shared this probably a dozen times over the air. Oftentimes I've seen the Lord allow me to use, I have a lot of energy mm-hmm. and some pretty strong willpower and determination. And now I can say that. I think somewhat highly of myself, but as you know and many know, I'm very insecure about some things that I know mm-hmm. I'm not very good at, and so I don't try to be more than I am. But I have learned how many times the Lord will let me pour forth all my energy, effort, enthusiasm, and not burnout, but get close to that point where, Lord, this is exhausting me.
Yeah.
And then he usually says, yes, Mark, I wanted you to get to the point where you realized it was way beyond you, and I let you kind of get fatigued over it because fundamentally you needed to move slowly, or what you had said a few weeks ago, abiding. You got so focused on the project that you failed to continue to abide and, you know, abide in me and my words, and, you know, the Lord will then accomplish his plan. But he'll let you also many times do it in your own strength.
Mm.
And so he's allowed me many times to see that, oh, yeah, again, this is that pattern. I'm doing it on my own strength. So,
well, you know, it's interesting, because on the Monday and Tuesday program, you kind of cut in half and presented that message that I gave. But there was one part of that there was no way. I mean, there's not enough time. God's word is so rich, and there's not enough time to talk about everything that's happening in the passage. But germane to what we're talking about right now, there's something fascinating in Luke 5 and John 21 that happens. Both of these are the miraculous fish stories that happen in the Bible. But in John 21, it says that they made a catch of large fish, it says here, in verse 11. So Simon and Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. Now, what's interesting is in Luke 5, which happens before the calling of the disciples, mm-hmm. it says here in verse 6, and when they were done with this, done with what? Catching the fish. When they were done with this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. See, isn't it interesting that before the disciples have been called and are responding to following Jesus with their whole hearts, they catch fish, but the nets break.
Mm-hmm.
After they're following Jesus, before they're being sent out to do miraculous things, the nets hold.
Right.
It's not that these were different nets. It's not that the one net was better than the other. In fact, these are nets probably from the same area, so there probably could be the same nets from the same pile of nets. But the difference is that I believe that the net...
And it's kind of interesting, these nets in the second case may have been 3 years older.
Yeah, they probably were 3 years older.
Probably should have maybe
right.
been... broken fast.
Well, I think it just shows to the strength of following the Lord. Because when you're not ready, when you're not authentically and intentionally following the Lord, when your desire is not for the things of the Lord, You can catch all the fish you want, but the nets are going to break. Mm-hmm. You can do all you want. You can start any kind of ministry you want, but I think ultimately it's not going to reach the potential that it could, or it's going to fail. But John 21 teaches us that when you are following the Lord, when you are glorifying Him, when you're screaming out, "It is the Lord," that you can catch the same amount of fish as you did in Luke 5, and the nets hold. Because it's not that the nets are better, it's not that you're better, but it's the strength of the Lord that holds together the ministry at hand. And so I think that that's why it's so important that we look to the Lord and we follow the Lord and we keep Him ever before us, because He's the only one that can keep the nets. Now, we're using metaphor. That can keep the net, kind of the nets of our lives from tearing apart. And only He can do it. And I think that's why we got to come to that kind of point where we say the end of ourselves, realizing that all of our human nets never hold.
Right.
They never hold. And yet when we say to the Lord, you, He goes, gosh, here come the large fish, and it's going to hold. It's going to hold in such a miraculous way. I have to believe, too, one of the things that I keep thinking about John 21 is when they pulled this ashore, all the people around who were going, how did the nets hold? How did they hold? And what a great opportunity that would be to say, the Lord. And I think that's another danger point for us, because, you know, the Great News Radio Center could blow up and God could be doing miraculous things here. And then all of a sudden the battleground in your own heart, Mark, becomes, did Mark do this or did the Lord do this?
Yeah.
And so I think then all of a sudden we've got to be able to just be willing and kind of in that place of awe to say, the Lord did it all, I don't know.
Well, that's what I liked about your message and the focus on the 153 fish. And when you came in here, I was kidding around, 153, but the disciples had it right. Here are fishermen, and you would think they'd think, man, we're going to make some big bucks, 150 large fish. We can sell them for this much and this much, and we're going to make this, and this will be retirement money. And, you know, we can think about that new cottage on the hillside. And what did they do? They focused entirely on the Lord and left the fish behind, if you will, and really did it right. It was a great example.
Yeah. But that's the difficulty all the time. And I think that if you're honest, you would say that, and so would I, that you maybe host something, maybe something happens, and you go, gosh, you know, I'm just praying that 500 come, or I'm praying that 1,000 people come, you know, and then 200 come, and you're going, oh, gosh, Lord, where was the 500? But the miracle that 200 people would come to something. The 200 people in this day and age would give of their time and their talents and their, you know, when I came in on Saturday to grab something from you and I saw the conversational English teachers you had around the table, I said, thank God.
Yeah.
I mean, because why would anybody come in on a Saturday? And it was a beautiful day outside. Why would they give up their day? Why would they come and sit around the table and listen to you talk? And, you know, why would people come and do the things they do, you know, at the church? I just think, what a miracle it is. And sometimes I think our heart is so enamored with numbers instead of the fact of what the sacrifice that people make for the Lord to be able to do those things, and then just to celebrate that, because I know He is.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of an interesting segue into another awe story where it looks like right now I think we have about 47 international students signed up for this coming Monday and Thursday class, and those 12 teacher facilitators that we're gathering, it's like, I think we're going to need more teachers, because if we...
It's like Jaws where he goes, we're going to need a bigger boat.
So I was thinking, I think right now there's like 33 intermediate, and if you had 5 to a teacher, you basically need maybe 6 or 7 teachers or instructors or facilitators. So I'm praying that the Lord would possibly raise up a few more teachers or individuals that could, you know, commit to an hour, hour and a half on Monday or Thursday, either day, and be a part of that. But it was just kind of amazing. And I remember when we had 6 or 8, and we were very content, and that was wonderful. And then there was like 12, and then 14, and then like 19 beginners and 9 intermediates. And this just exploded. And it's like, wow, Lord, are you doing something here? and we feel he is because of some of the feedback from the students, but that's kind of exciting. Then another thing that happened yesterday, Ron Daly was in from the Blossom Basket. He's, I think, one of the owners, he and his wife, Deb. And we're launching this new window program because we have these two bay windows and we want to create some energy and interest in people walking by, stopping and seeing them. And he said, oh, yeah, I'll fill them up with flowers and arrangements and other things. And he said, oh, and I guess the Singing Men are going to be singing at that Home and Garden Design Expo that's going on Saturday the 8th and the 9th. And the Singing Men will be singing at 2 p.m. on Saturday. And he said, I think we'll provide like 300 or 400 long-stem roses so all the Singing Men can hand those out to people. And what else can we do to provide, you know, and support the station? And I'm like, Ron, I'm availing these windows for you because we want to just show support because you do so many things for the community and your adoption stories and some things. And I'll probably have him on Monday and Tuesday, he and Deb, one of those 2 days. Anyways, it was like one of these examples where the Lord blessed us through him and through his situation. And then he was talking about, you can't outgive the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, that's part of our ministry at Blossom Basket is to assist and look at our business as a ministry. And I had heard some other stories of things that he has done for the community at large. And anyways, it was just kind of neat. And that song I closed out yesterday's program, Standing in Awe, the privilege that we get to see all these things. But those are just the things that we see or maybe measure. But the simple things like that he's given us life this very day and purpose and meaning. And then the eternity that we don't deserve, that we can't earn, that he's gifted to us that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, all because of what he did. Once again, not because we've earned it or we deserve it or we've worked our way towards it. It's a free gift. And it's nothing. What's that one verse? That not that we can boast or that we've earned it or all. It's all because of him. So. Mm. Ah, what a privileged position to stand in awe. So today's title, Still Standing in
Still
Awe.
Standing.
Still Standing. Oh.
Friday's message, Still Standing.
Still Standing. Yeah, still standing some more in awe. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
That's when I think about eternity, in a place I've never seen. I wonder how it's gonna be, and I'm caught up in a dream where I find myself at Jesus' feet.